Well, we're going to preach on praising God tonight. How's that sound? Gave you a chance. Now, three of you can just pat yourself on the back. The rest of you, you're in the bullseye. All right. Acts chapter 2. We're going to finish out study on the church and asking the question, or answering the question, I guess, what are we doing here? And we've seen so far the sixfold purpose of the church is to first evangelize the lost. Second and third are to execute ordinances. And, of course, we've studied all this out, to execute the ordinance of water baptism after someone's been born again. And then to execute the Lord's Supper as a reminder of what Jesus did for us. Number four is to edify the church. Number five, to effectually pray. Number six, we preached on Sunday night, to enjoy fellowship. And tonight, number seven, is to exalt God. What in the world is the church still doing here? We're here to exalt God. And as I've said before, when it comes to evangelizing the lost, if the church doesn't evangelize the lost, who's going to do it? If the church is not going to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, you can guarantee the Republicans and Democrats and the Independents aren't going to do it. Right? It's going to have to be the church. It's God's institution that He left here on the face of the earth to work through, to get His work done while he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to. And if we don't tell them they need to repent, who's going to tell them that? Most churches won't tell them that. So Spring City Baptist Church, it's your job, evangelize the lost and preach repentance and faith. Amen. Amen. All right. When it comes to edifying the church, encouraging the church, building up the church, strengthening the church, who else is going to do that? CNN's not going to do that. Facebook's not going to do that. Amen. So who else is going to edify the church? It's going to have to be the church and the brethren and the pastors and the preachers. Amen. When it comes to effectually praying and praying for kings and all in authority that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, who else is going to do that besides the church? When it comes to enjoying fellowship together, and as we preached Sunday night about iron sharpening iron, who else is going to provoke you unto love and good works other than another member of the church? Nobody else. You see how peculiar the job of the church is? I think sometimes we lose sight of what God expects of us. That's why we went through this, is to remind us we have very important but also very peculiar responsibilities that God has given to nobody else but those who are saved and born again on the face of this earth. And if we stop doing it, it's not going to get done. And then, of course, tonight, number seven, exalting God. Well, mercy, who's going to do that if the church doesn't do it? The rocks, the robins, unless I shoot them. Man, but no, honestly, in all seriousness, who else is going to exalt God down here to where other men and women can hear of the goodness and the greatness of God? Who else is going to do that other than people sitting in churches just like this all across America? Who else is going to do it in Russell County? Ask yourself this question. How many people have you heard praising God outside of the four walls of this church this week? And then how many have you heard cussing Him and blaspheming Him and saying all manner of evil against Him? Brother Dan was telling a story. He may tell it here sometime later. He's telling a story yesterday morning. On his birthday, he got cussed out in the McDonald's parking lot. He said, I got called names I've never been called before. You know what that guy, I don't know what the guy said, but I guarantee you I got a pretty good guess. There's a lot of using invoking God's name in vain. We hear that stuff all the time. We just kind of, you know, we're so numb to it and immune to it, we just go on. But when's the last time you heard somebody praising God publicly and it wasn't you? This is just curious for me. When's the last time somebody handed you a gospel tract? I don't know that I've ever been handed one. I thought about that at Williamsburg, man. I was having fun anyway, and leaving really good tracks in very, very nice prominent places. But anyway, I thought about that. I thought, you know, I wonder how many people passing out tracts who's been saved ever got a tract passed to them. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I'm just saying it's rare. And I am saying this tonight. You know, I think this thing about praising God, we probably just take it for granted, and we don't think a whole lot about it, and I don't know that we necessarily fully grasp the importance of doing so intentionally and doing so by plan and putting that plan into action. You know, we've said this around here for a little while. We've sort of tried to get in the habit. Somebody asks you how you doing, we try to say better than we deserve, because it gets you that open door to start talking about how good God's been to you. But anyway, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We read these verses Sunday night, and in these verses, you have the sevenfold purpose of the church that we've talked about so far. So verse 41, the Bible says this, Acts 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. By the way, that's not socialism in America. That's helping your brothers and sisters in the church as they need it. Amen. 46, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And here it is, praising God. And having favor with all the people. Boy, I mean, that's sort of a whole other ballgame in itself, that having favor thing. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so here we go, praising God. And as we've said already, who else is going to do this? Now, that word praise simply means this. It means to commend, and it means to applaud. And I know, you know, we've understood the thing about applause in this church for a long time, and I'm not going to fault, you know, some of our folks that come and one time a week and you know, just want to tell the kids that they appreciate them. I'm not going to fault that by any means. But I'm just telling you this, God's the only one that deserves any applause. He's the only one that deserves any praise when anything goes good in our lives. To praise means to magnify, and we understand that word. We can't make God any bigger, but we can sure make him bigger to other people. How you do that? You tell them how good God's been to you. And then when they say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean God's been good to you? You tell them specifically how God's been good to you. You tell them specifically some prayers God's answered. God answered any prayers for you specifically in 2021 yet? He sure has for me. We ought to tell people about that. I think most people walk around thinking God's just some figment of all of our imagination, but when they hear somebody start to talk about how real God is in their life and how much he's done for them, it ought to open their eyes and say, wow, I've never seen it like that before. Good, here's a magnifying glass, right? Or the telescope, however you want to put that thing. So it means to magnify. It means to glorify on account of perfections. Boy, God's perfect, isn't he? He is just... just right. Glorify on account of perfections and excellent works. I believe God's done a few of those. Amen. In fact, you and I are walking around in our right mind. That's one of them. Amen. In fact, we're saved. That's another one. You look out here and man, you see the seasons changing and the buds. Isn't it beautiful? Watch those buds on those red maples start to come out. And you know it's spring and pollen's on the way. Amen. But that's the handiwork of God. You ought to remind people about that. I'm like, boy, it's a nice day. Yeah, God sure blessed us, didn't he? That needs to be the reaction instead of, well, yeah, you know, it's just sort of hard today. Don't make me go back and preach about Jacob there in front of Pharaoh. Yeah. He missed it now, I'm telling you. We don't miss these opportunities. To praise means this. It means to express gratitude for personal favors. God has a growing list of those in my life. How about you? So with that, let's pray, and we're going to jump in. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 places to turn tonight. We'll be done. Let's jump in after we pray here. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night you've given us, Lord. Thank you for these folks that have made an effort to be at Spring City Baptist Church. Father, please help us to understand your word tonight. I pray that you'd give me the unction from on high, that I would have acceptable words in your sight, and that my words would reach the heart of your people. And we pray that your word, Lord, would be effectual and have free course in this place. And Lord, please help us be mindful of this topic about praising you. Lord, you're mindful of us. Please help us be mindful of you at all times throughout the day. Lord, I know stuff happens, and we get sidetracked, and the world blows up in our face, and we get in the flesh sometimes. But Father, please help us to seek out and take every opportunity that we can to praise you in front of a lost and dying world. Lord, to praise you in front of other church folks that need some encouragement. And Lord, just to praise you because you're good and you deserve it. And I pray you'd help us with this message tonight, Lord, to be doers and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Psalm chapter 10. As I've mentioned earlier, you know, not hardly an hour goes by. We sang that song, I Need Thee Every Hour. And boy, we do, don't we? We need God every minute of every hour. But every hour of the day ticks by, 24 hours goes by. The sun's shining somewhere on this globe that God made as it spins around in His perfect order, in His perfect orbit. And I just wonder how much praise goes up to God in relation to everything else that comes out of the mouth of men and women all over the world. And I'd say it's atrocious. I'd say it's sad just to know the disproportionate amount of complaining and cursing and blaspheming that God has to hear and put up with versus the amount of praise that comes into His presence on that throne and is true from the heart, genuine praise and thanks to God for who He is and what He's done. And I'm telling you, as the world gets worse and worse, and evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, and perilous times take their grip upon the church, we're going to have to be so careful that we don't get sidetracked and get the molly grubs with everybody else and start murmuring and complaining like everybody else and just start talking about how good God is. Man, that would flip some people's scripts. It really would. Psalm 10. Verse 1, the Bible says this, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in time of trouble? You ever feel like that? I do from time to time. Feel like God's not within a million miles of what's going on here at Spring City. And it's easy to ask that. Lord, where are you? You know, all you got to do is keep a surficial touch on the laws that are getting proposed and passed in Virginia and America, and you can sit there and say, Lord, where are you? All this wickedness going on and these elected officials standing and pompously declaring God has no right or any workings in this government of this country. You're a fool. The fool said in his heart there is no God. I'd hate to be that guy or girl or whoever they are. Hope they know. But why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble, Lord? Lord, we're struggling. Anybody besides me feel like that sometimes? And then look at this. Verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Can I just say something tonight? All these stimulus checks going out to Americans aren't helping Americans. They're hurting Americans. Quite frankly, our family would be just fine without them. Anyway, I don't want to get all that. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And I'll tell you what the wicked does. They act like they're trying to help the poor. And actually what they're doing is they're hurting the poor. The socialist standpoint in America today is we care about our fellow Americans, don't you? That's what's getting pushed today. And our president sits there and says, you know, we're going to get these vaccines out. We're going to get these checks out. We're going to restore everybody's faith in the government. Don't need it. Thanks, but I don't need it. But what they're doing is they are persecuting the poor and the poor are too poor to understand that. And they'll just take the handouts, and they'll take the injections, and they'll take more handouts, and they'll take more unemployment, and it'll just go right on down the line, and before you know it, this country, by helping each other, we've tanked it. Amen. Let them be taken in devices that they have imagined, and they will. Gotta let that happen. Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. A lot of that going on, isn't there? But verse 4 is really where we want to be tonight. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not where? In all his thoughts. And so, church member, saved, born again believer on your way to heaven, it's your job and my job to put God in their thoughts every day. Because they're not going to think about him. And they're going to resist it. And they're going to do everything they can to not let God come into their mind. And that's why when you stand there on that street corner tomorrow and wave and smile and they see God or Jesus on that sign, it's no wonder some of them react the way they do, because they don't want to think about that. But it's our job to make them think about it. Amen. And it doesn't have to be a sign on a street corner. It can be just in a casual conversation. It can be in a hello and a greeting, as we've already talked about. Any chance you get to say God is good, or to mention the name of God or the name of Jesus in a positive, praiseworthy, honoring light, bragging about God, magnifying God, you ought to do it every chance you get. Amen. Why? Because the world is wicked and they don't want to think about God. They want to think about everything else but God. People are scared to death to be still and quiet. I got to have something going all the time. So it's the church's responsibility to make the wicked think about God. That can happen in public ministry, or that can happen in personal private evangelism. However it happens, doesn't matter. Just take a chance to glorify God. All right, we're going to do a progression here tonight. Psalm 22 now. Psalm 22. And we're going to talk about right now what David calls the great congregation. Okay. And I am going to present that to you tonight. I think I'm right in this. The great congregation is just the public that's around us. Because then he's going to talk about the congregation of the saints. He's going to make a particular distinction there. So we're going to talk about and see what David says about praising God in the great congregation. Okay? So Psalm 22. Of course, you know Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24 present Jesus as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Amen. And Psalm 22 is talking about his death. And it says here in Psalm 22 and verse 22, the Bible says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. All right? And then look down at verse 25. He says, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Okay? Psalm 35, verse 18. Psalm 35, verse 18, the Bible says this. Psalm 35, 18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among, how many people? Much people. That means every chance, David said, every chance I get, I'm going to tell people how good God is and how thankful I am for what he's done for me. Amen. It's that simple. It's that simple. Listen, do I want to say, can I say names over the air? I will, because he won't mind. I saw Sexton Burkett at the post office the other day. And y'all keep praying for Sexton and Nancy. They're still having some health struggles and stuff. But Sexton was just such a blessing, because once he figured out who I was and took my sunglasses off, And he knew who I was. But he just sat there. I was holding the door open for him to go in the post office. People coming in and out. And he's just talking about how good God's been to him and Nancy and taking care of them. And he said, you pray for me. Put his finger in. You pray for me. For Sexton, I will pray for you, buddy. And I mean, people walking in and out, listening to what we're saying. That's three or four times that's happened between me and Sexton at the post office. And it's a blessing. And there's a man, I mean, how old is he? 90-something? And close enough. Bump him, round him up, amen. But all I'm saying is that, listen, and I don't mean to put men and women on pedestals, but that is such a blessing and such a breath of fresh air to walk into somebody, talk to somebody like that, and people walking by looking at you. What are they talking about? Amen. You ought not be ashamed to have that kind of conversation in just open public. Amen. Amen. Well, David said, I'm going to give God thanks in the great congregation. Plenty to give him thanks for, isn't there? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. I know in my life, I think when I'd hear preaching on, you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and I'd hear preaching on, you know, you need to be able to earnestly contend for the faith and refute all the false doctrines and heresies out there. That was intimidating to me in my early formative Christian years. But as I've grown and I've been able to do that, to refute and earnestly contend for the faith, all that, I'm seeming to find there's just as much power in just doing what we're talking about tonight, just praising God and thanking God publicly. That almost goes further with people than if you were to sit down and doctrinally explain to them why they're wrong. That makes sense. Because all of us can just praise God. You may not be able to sit down with a Jehovah's Witness and prove to them with their own New World Translation why they're going to hell. But you can tell them how good God's been to you in saving your soul. Amen. Pick anything else out there, okay? So I think what I want you to get with this is fulfilling the command to be a witness for Jesus Christ is a very easy first step. How you doing today? God's been better than me than I deserve. You just put God in their thought, and the rest of the day they're going to sit there and think, how could somebody say that? How could they mean that? Don't they know what's going on in the world today? You see how that presents a very good picture of God when His people praise Him even though the world's going to pot? Something to think about. Psalm 40, verse 9. Psalm 40, verse 9. I have preached righteousness. That's a good thing to do. In the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy what? Faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Morning by morning, those mercies are new. Compassions fail not. Isn't that something? Well, just talk about how faithful God's been to you. On this LinkedIn thing, it's, you know, professional Facebook's all it is. I'm about to get off of it. But you know, every now and then I get these notifications. So-and-so's been with this company for 21 years. Or so-and-so's been with this company for 18 years. And I think, man, you know, God's been with me every step of the way since I've been born again. Since almost 30 years, God's never failed me. And you know, the Lord's given you blessings upon blessings. He daily loads us with benefits, doesn't He? He's always faithful to do that. And I'm telling you, we just got to tell people about it. Just got to tell people about it. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Are you saved tonight? Man, best thing you can do, we were judging the ODAX preaching this week, and one of those young men gave his testimony, his personal testimony. I think that's probably the first time that I've heard that since I've been judging ODAX preaching. A young man told the whoever's listening how God saved him and when God, and I'm telling you, it was such a blessing, and I gave him a 10 for it. Because that's all you got to do, folks. Just tell people what Jesus did for you. And boy, you know, if he did that for you, he'd do it for anybody else. Amen. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from who? The great congregation. They got to know about it. They're not going to hear it from anybody else. I don't even know who the famous news anchors are, but they are not going to tell the American public with them at captive audience who Jesus is, what Jesus did for them, that the Bible's right, that God's word is always right, amen, and all of his works are done in truth. Nobody on NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, whatever else is out there, none of them are going to say that. So I wish they'd give me 20 minutes prime time on Fox sometime. If you're listening, I'm available. Honestly. But we're not going to get that. So what we got to do? One by one, the people we bump into throughout the day and throughout the week, you're going to have to do this. Because they're not going to get it from anybody else. Okay? Psalm 107. What in the world are we doing here? We're exalting God to a lost and dying world. Psalm 107, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. Amen. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Boy, don't you just wish more people praise God? Nobody's going to say anything because only three people testified tonight. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 1. So, you can just sort of take it every time I open the floor in the church for praise and testimony time. It's just practice for what you're going to do at McDonald's or the post office or Walmart or... You know, how many of you still have somebody check you out at Walmart or Food City? You know, that's a captive audience for however long it takes them to do that. And if you want it to go quicker, start talking about God. And if they miss something, go back and pay them for it. All right, Psalm 111, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Praise ye the Lord." And all God's people said, amen. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. We've got an unlimited supply of topics to talk about when it comes to the goodness and greatness of God. We've got to pick one and run with it. So we ought to praise God in the great congregation. Okay, so what we're talking about so far tonight, because this topic of praising God or exalting God is just like preaching on grace or love or, you know, any of those things that it take you two decades to get it all done, you know. So I'm going to try to do this very, very simplistically tonight. So we're to talk about God and praise God and exalt God so that the wicked will think about him. Just put him in their thoughts. And then we're to praise and thank God and talk about his faithfulness and his truthfulness and his salvation and forgiveness in the great congregation. And then Psalm 89. And really those verses we looked at already, really dealing with the great congregation, we'll call that people that aren't in the church. Because there's a whole lot more people outside the church than there are in the church. Even the body of Christ church. So Psalm 89, why are we to praise God? Well, it helps evangelize the lost. And then next, we ought to praise and exalt God because it edifies the church. Psalm 89, the Bible says this, verse 1. Now this is Ethan the Ezrathite. Okay, he's an interesting guy. Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of who? Of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Nobody. Amen. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Nobody. You take Putin and Biden and Jing Zhang Zhang, whatever his name is over there in China, and Dufachi in North Korea. All these guys think they're really something. They are nothing but pipsqueaks in the sight of God. I wish they'd, I can't remember the verse is. There's a verse that talks about that. It says, Lord, remind them they are but just men. Remind the nations they are but men. That's a good verse. Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Amen. But it says there, verse 5, the heavens shall praise thy wonders and thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Now we know the heavens will praise his wonders. Psalm 19:1 says the heavens declare his glory. And so what I want to do first is provoke the church, provoke Spring City Baptist Church to praise God more than the rest of his creation does. Okay? Talks about there, right? The heavens shall praise him. We understand that. Bible tells us in Luke 19:40 when Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey. Remember that? And they're casting their garments and them palm branches down. Hosanna, Hosanna. And they said, man, what are they doing that for? And Jesus said, well, if they don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out. The stones will cry out, immediately cry out, he said. I'd sure hate to be outdone by a piece of granite. I've said this before. I'd hate to be outdone by a sparrow. I'd hate to be outdone by a squirrel. You think I'm crazy, don't you? You walk out there tonight, I guarantee you walk out of church tonight, those birds will still be going. Psalm 149. Be good, just tell God how much you love him before you go to bed tonight. Bet those birds will. Psalm 149, verse 1, the Bible says this, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. So not only do the wicked and the lost and the great congregation, all the people of the world, not only do they need to hear about God and how good he is, the church needs to hear about that. Because there will be people that come to Spring City Baptist Church that are members here, and they walk in, and the world's beat them up all day long. They started the day getting cussed out in the McDonald's parking lot, and it went downhill from there. Honestly, we've all had days like that. And it goes on for a day, and it goes on for a week, and sometimes it goes on for a month. And sometimes, some people in this church have been bearing burdens for years. And the situation hasn't changed. It's only gotten tougher. And I'm telling you, they need to hear somebody else talk about how good God is to another saved individual so they don't start thinking, well, I just don't know about that anymore. I'm serious, church. Don't take that lightly. There's been times that I've come to church back when we were at Colonial and Brother Lee could open the service like that on a Wednesday night. And I've had the most, Miss Brenda was telling me about something she experienced today. I've had the worst client meetings all day long. People expecting the world for nothing from you. Putting pressure on you and just, giving you down the road and you feel like a dog and you walk into church and you're thinking, boy, God better have something good. And it wasn't God that had something good. It was another brother the aisle over that got up and said, I just want to thank God for being so good to me. And he's gone through stage 4 cancer and survived. And you start thinking, well, I didn't have it that bad in that first place. And I appreciate that man or that woman's praise about God because it really lifted me. Maybe that happened. That happened to you? Am I the only one that's happened to? Okay. Romans 12. I'm probably going to get out of order here, but that's okay. Romans chapter 12. We live in a very negative society, don't we? Misery loves company. That saying is true 1,000 times over in the world that we live in today. If something's not wrong, people aren't happy. Makes sense? If they can't complain about something, they can't talk. And woe be unto us Christians that mimic that. For David's go. I think that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Most likely we think too highly of ourselves, and we think that God owes us more or we deserve better than what we do have, even though we might say otherwise. But our heart will really be tested when we're going through the muck and the mire and God is blessing another brother or sister in Christ who you think doesn't deserve it. And that's going to test your heart. And God's given you the remedy for that. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do, what's the word? You say, well, what are you so happy about? Well, let me just tell you why. Amen. The song says, because my sins are gone is what the song says. But you know, you ever had somebody come into church and just stand up and praise God for something he did in their life? Or maybe it's been a church prayer request. I know some of you guys, we've prayed about your jobs and stuff like that. And man, God answered that prayer and gave you that job. Man, we're rejoicing with you. Isn't that great when that happens? We got to guard those hearts because it's so easy. Well, God bless brother so-and-so. Why did he bless him? And I'm stuck over here, you know, trudging through the mud and I can't get out of this. What? God being so good to him. Hey, just hang in there, man. God may be better to you than he was to him or her. However you want to slice that thing. I'm just saying this. Listen, when it comes to rejoicing in the church, you got to let the church know what's going on that God's done in your life. And so when we open the floor for praise and testimony time, that's the time to stand up and say, I just want to let you guys know how great God's been to me this week. Or God answered this prayer so specifically. And so, isn't it great to read these missionary letters? And hear how God answers specific prayers for these men and women and their families. And opens unbelievably effectual doors in countries all around this world that nobody could ever get into unless God was behind it. That ought to encourage us. And we ought to rejoice with them. And I know what the next part of the verse says. Weep with them with the weep. We're talking about praising God and rejoicing tonight. There's probably more weeping going on than there is rejoicing. Amen. We know the verse, Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord. What's it say? What's the next two words? With. Well, turn over there then. Psalm 34. I was going to save you turning, but. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, 1. The Bible says this, I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. If your Bible says that, throw it in the trash. I will bless the Lord when the pastor calls for it in the pulpit. If your Bible says that, throw it in the trash. When does it say we ought to bless the Lord? At all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, not in me, not in the stock market, not in my abilities, in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, there's some people that hear that. They'll praise the Lord right along with you. And there's some people hear that and say, what are you doing that for? They just don't have a humble heart. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name, how? Together. That ought not be pulling teeth and having to use a cattle prod in the church to do that. It ought to be instantaneous. When we're together, I understand you'd be out there in the world, maybe be apprehensive or the situation not be comfortable to do that. But man, we come in here, this is all about Jesus in here. It's all about praising God and worshiping God and listening to what God has to say to us and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin in my life. Would you help me get that out of there? That's what this is all about. So rejoice with them that do rejoice. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. This encourages, it edifies, and it strengthens the saints. And I'll come back to that same question. Who else is going to do it? You won't hear it anywhere else. Hebrews 13. Familiar verses tonight, Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We ought to praise God and exalt God so that the wicked will think about him, so that folks in the world will know how great a God we serve and how great a God he is. We ought to praise God and exalt God so that the saints will be encouraged and edified and strengthened. And then you ought to praise and exalt God just personally in your prayer life to him. I'm all for all the public stuff we've talked about, but I think it might even put a bigger smile on God's face just to hear it from us privately, one-on-one. James, or not James, Hebrews, I'm looking at James. Hebrews 13, verse 15, familiar verse. Bible says this, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving what? Thanks to his name. And in all the verses that we've covered on effectually praying, 1 Timothy 2:1, I always get that confused. 1 Timothy 2:1, right? That talking about prayers and supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made unto God. Luke 11, when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus said, when thou prayest, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There, when we start praying, church, we ought to get in the habit of just praising God and thanking God and not just saying it out of habit, but really mean it. Probably get you a little better audience. Remember I told you that word praise means to express gratitude for personal favor. God done some personal favors for you this week. Tell him thank you. And you may not tell anybody else thank you for it. But tell God thank you. What do we teach our kids from the time they're able to mumble a half a word when you give them something? Now, what do you say? Thank you, right? That's the same with God. He gives us all things. He doeth all things well, doesn't he? Amen. Well, not only should we express that praise and gratitude and giving of thanks personally, and I'll even say it this way, intimately with God, one-on-one. He needs to hear that from us. But the last point tonight, Psalm 105. We've talked about praising God and evangelizing the lost. We've talked about praising God and exalting God and edifying the church. We've talked about praising and exalting God. By the way, that will help your prayers be effectual. Rather than just coming to God with a, God, I need you to do this list, sit there and give him some thanks for a little while That'll go a lot longer, a lot further. Psalm 105 tonight, exalting God and praising God is also necessary in our fellowship. I know I've talked about this in edifying the church, and maybe that's done publicly as the floor is open for personal testimony and things like that. But before church, after church, go out and have a meal together. Whatever it is when we're spending time together as a church family, and you start exalting God and praising God, it'll make that fellowship so sweet. It'd be a whole lot better than talking about Alabama and Tennessee football. Man, be so much. Man, I'm telling you, the sweetest fellowship that I've had with brothers and sisters in Christ is to sit down and people start talking about and praising God and talking about what He's done for them. And I mean, even right now, it put chills down my back to hear people talk about how God has worked in their life, and it gives me encouragement, and it reminds me of the times that God's worked in my life, and it gives me hope for the future, that even though the whole world, and I'm saying it with all sincerity, is going to hell in a handbasket, God can still work in the behalf of His children. And His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom He can show Himself strong in their behalf, whose heart is perfect toward Him, 2 Chronicles 16:9. Psalm 105. Verse 1, the Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. What's the next two words? Talk ye of all His wondrous works. I won't tell you who it is, but we had a young couple visit our church. Valerie and I had them over for supper at the house, and we sat down, and the husband looked at me, and he goes, tell me what God's done in the church since you've been the pastor. And man, it sort of took me by surprise, and so I took a drink of water, you know, that stall tactic, take a drink of water. And started to butter my bread, you know, but I started talking about how God opened the schools to us in CUC, and how all of that has just transformed, blossomed, and hopefully we're going to get back in next year. I really pray we are, and you can pray about that. But then I started talking about the radio station, and how God answered those prayers and provided all that money for that, and just it all, the Lord just put it all in place. And how He's blessed this church for 22, 23 years, given to missions sacrificially. And He blessed us in the print shop out there, and how God outfitted that print shop and put all that material in there, and all those presses in there and machinery in there. And just thing after thing God kept bringing to my mind over the years. And He just sat there with a grin on His face. And He said, man, that's such a blessing to hear. Because, you know, why would you want to be a part of a church where God hadn't done something like that? Right? So listen, I know the days we live in are dark days. I know the times in this country are a-changing, as they say. But God is still the same. And the worse the world gets, the worse America gets, the harder it gets to live for Jesus Christ, the greater God can flex His muscles. Just talk ye of all His wondrous works. Make known His deeds among the people. I love talking about our radio station to people who don't have a clue. Or some other pastors or somebody call and say, tell me about your radio station. Man, after about 20 minutes, they probably wish they hadn't asked that question. Because you can't stop. God has been so good to this little church on this hillside, guys, in 85 years. We forget about it. And we get focused on the negativity, and we get focused on the difficulty, and we get focused on all the things that kill our joy and the troubles and the problems between each other, and we forget what wondrous things God's done for this group of people. And we just need to talk about it more. It'd be a lot better to talk about and praise God than talk about the problems. 119, Psalm 119. Now, that's not to say if there's not, you know, if there's problems we need to deal with, we need to deal with them. But just to constantly complain about Biden is not going to help anybody. Amen. Psalm 119. Verse 27, Bible says this, Psalm 119, 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I've probably mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. It has helped me. Now let me start that over. I probably have between a dozen and 18 books on my library shelf at the house about how to pastor a church. And I've read them all. But I can glean more from 10 or 15 minutes of talking to men like Ron Ralph and Roger Hoots at that pastor school than I can reading a 500-page book on somebody's theories about pastoring a church. And when we sit down with those guys, I'll sit down with them and I'll say this. I'll say, okay, here's my question. Now you talk and I'm going to listen. And I just, whatever they talk about for the next 20 minutes, just soak it in. And most of the time what those guys will do is they'll just give you practical insight about being a pastor. And everyone in this church has got practical experience of what it's like to be a mom, to be a grandmother, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be a deacon, to be a husband, a father. And what we need, especially our younger generation, what we need is for some of you older folks to just talk and let us listen. Because you can talk about all the wondrous works that God's done for you and all the precepts and all the statutes that you have personally learned from God through your heartaches and hardships and knots on your head that hopefully we don't have to learn them that way. And I tell you, I appreciate those guys, Brother Ron, Brother Roger. They've really become good friends to me because their heart is not to get you to pastor your church the way they pastor their church. Their heart is, we don't want you to make the same dumb mistakes that they made. And I appreciate that about those guys. But it takes them talking about and praising God and talking about the things that God blessed in their church. I'll never forget this. And I'll say this and we'll close. Brother Ron, 2 years ago, no, 4 years ago, he said, people ask me all the time at Cornerstone, Brother Ron, how'd you do it? How'd you get a church of 250 people Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday? How'd you guys get all these music people here? And he said this as honestly as he could. He said, guys, he said, I can't tell you what worked. He said, I can just tell you what didn't work. And he said, that's what I'm going to tell you in this pastor school. And he said, you don't need to go and make your church Cornerstone Baptist Church, and you don't need to go make your church, East River Baptist Church. He said, you need to go make your church what God wants it to be. He said, we're just telling you where we messed up. And those guys will sit there and they'll praise God and they'll talk about God's wondrous works in their lives. And it's such an encouragement to the younger generation to just hear of the wisdom and the insight that God has given them over all these years. And everybody in this room has got that. You may not have it from pastor to pastor, that's a pretty specific thing. But that's Titus chapter 2. That's the aged women taking the younger women and teaching them how to live for God. And you know how you're going to do that, ladies? You're going to have to talk about how God has worked in your life. It's the aged men taking the younger men and teaching them how to be young men, godly young men for God. And guys, the way you're going to do that is tell them what God's done in your life and what God blessed. And where not to make the same mistakes. What in the world are we doing here? We got 7 jobs to do. Let's get busy. What do you say? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we